Now, 안녕하세요. This is Pastor Tanya, or affectionately known as Pastor Tan. I have been such time of my life in so many different words. It's been a lot lately. And I'm going to say it like I mean it. It has been a time now more than ever for the body of Christ to speak up and spare not. I know that sometimes God has word for us in season, out of season. So to me, it has been an in season and out of season things going on. We have so many people stating how they are starting to feel. And in that reasoning, they should be able to explain themselves. We have had celebrity pastors that have sat there and said things that are in the body of Christ or in the whole entire spectrum of who God is in the church. Now, in so many different words, the institution of the church should be sacred, should be holy, should be of God. But now more than ever, people have tainted the institution of the church and brought in so much baggage that now that has become so demonic, so bad. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back, i.e. fornication, adultery, some of them sexual immorality, whether it's with children or adults. And I mean, it's so much stuff that's going on that you really can't sit there and concentrate. If you don't sit there, and as a pastor and as a prophetess, I can't sit everywhere. I can't sit in certain churches and then sit there and say, well, God is here. He's not. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. I'm going to say this like I mean it. It's because we attend church, and I don't know about you, but I grew up, you know, attending church, but not living it, not being able to apply it to my own life is what takes me to who I need to be and where I need to go and whom the person is that I need to see. And the person is not a person, it's God. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. See, certain people will sit there and tell you, well, this God says this or God says that, but they never sit here and read the word of God for themselves. They never sit here and say, well, let me go ahead and, you know, recommend you to read it for yourself. Let me go ahead and, as your pastor or whoever the head of your church is, they don't get there and sit there and say, look, you need to look at the word. You need to open up the Bible and you need to study for yourself. And it says it in Timothy, you need to study to be self-approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to. It's a necessity. We have to get into the word of God. We have to be able to sit there and say, wait a minute, what did God say? What did God tell me? What? Wait a minute, God wanted me to go here? Where? Which book? Why? These are the things that, you know, we have the what, when, why, how. And to me, it's like we need to answer those questions for ourselves. And God has been the better teacher. I have had so many teachers, and biblical and non-biblical, but I've had some good ones. And I've had the ones where they would teach the history of United States and wouldn't skip over anything because they knew it was vital to what we needed to know. Nowadays, my children come home and I ask them, did you get to know what was the Star Spangled Banner? What was the reason behind the Star Spangled Banner? And a lot of the times my oldest would tell me no. And my middle child would tell me no. And my youngest would tell me no. And we would try to explain to them what was the reasoning behind it. And see, for us, they didn't get it. But for somebody that doesn't even live in the United States, they get it once they hear the story. And I had to sit there and I was taken aback by what how my children responded, because a lot of times when you hear the story, I mean, the real story behind it, sometimes people don't understand the sacrifice unless they're not amongst it. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. See, my children, we have been able to help them to understand how vital, how important life is. But we need to, when we grow up, we need to share and we need to give those next lifelong lessons to our children. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. See, our children are the reflection of us in some type of way. All of my characteristics don't always go to all of my children, but it goes to different, you know, I'm split in threes. And then I have to be able to honestly sit there and say, okay, this is dominant in this child and this is dominant in that child. And I have to determine how to be able to focus and try to be able to show them what is important and what is not. What I need to be able to sit there and let them be able to keep or let them be able to understand, and what needs to be kind of put into a smaller group or section for later use. And when I say that, it's because now more than ever, God has been speaking. And to me, when God speaks, it's very important. It ain't something that you just, you know, shove it underneath the rug. You can't do that. When God speaks, it's something about the way that God speaks in his tone that helps you, and also it hinders you from going the wrong way. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. It helps you and it hinders you. It helps you to understand what's good and what's right, but it hinders you when you're trying to do something wrong, when you're trying to sit up there and say, well, I need to do this and I need to do that. No, it's not I. It's about you doing what God said, because that's who created you. We're here for a purpose, ladies and gentlemen, and it's God's purpose towards you. Have you asked him lately? Have you told him? Or per se, have you gotten into a conversation with God and honestly said, God, what is my purpose? What is the plan you have given me? Now, we all the time as human beings, we can get off track, okay? But then when you realize that something is amiss or something is wrong, you need to come to your realization that I missed something along the way. Can you help me, God, to get back where you need for me to be? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with asking God or having a conversation with God. There's nothing wrong with you as the creation asking the creator, God, where do I find the fault in me? Where am I supposed to go? How am I supposed to address certain things? And that's how we as the body of Christ should look at a lot of different things. Now, I had a lot to listen to on this week. I had a lot of things going on. So once again, please forgive me. But it's been a lot for me, not just my children, not just my spouse, not just my, you know, household, it was just. I hear a lot and I see a lot, and I'm sitting up here. Nobody's explaining how, you know, because yes, we're, I don't know about you, but a lot of us have grown up in church. Excuse me. And church is not the way that we used to have it. Church is not a place for conviction anymore. Some people have made it, some of the leaders or people going into the church have made it so cool to sin and stay in the church and made it convenient for people that are not of God and of God to do the same. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. A lot of people have fallen away from God. A lot of people have sat there and sold their souls to the notion that I can still get in if I still do my own sins and it's okay. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, on today, it's not. And to me, it's like, wait a minute, how can you sit there? No, let me tell you something. If we have sinned, we have to sit there and we need to repent. We need to go back and tell God we're sorry because and sincerely mean it. Stop sitting up here and doing the same sin over and over again. You're just sitting up here and be habitual. That means you continually sin because you think, oh, God's going to be able to, all I have to do is say I'm sorry. But you don't realize the magnitude that it hurts God when we do things that is contrary to the word of God, to him, to his face. He's just like a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife that you truly do love, that you want to spend the whole entire time with, but yet and still, you're still doing the same thing with someone else. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all really don't hear me. It's hard for you to have someone that you truly do love and you really want to be with, but then you sit there and you see that other person with someone else and spending time with someone else and knowing what's their end or their demise. When you have given them a good life, you have been able to make sure they come into the world, that you have been able to help them to grow and mature, help and provide for them. And then you start seeing them go somewhere else and they leave you by yourself. And the hurt and the pain that God must feel. I mean, he is God. But also at the same exact time, I believe in my whole heart that when Adam sinned, that a part of God was angry, but also hurt. Because Adam used to walk with God. In the cool of the day, Adam used to walk with God and name the animals with God and have time with God. And I mean, just be able to have fellowship. And then to be kicked out because of the sin that he committed, there has to be some type of feeling and conviction when Adam couldn't go back into the garden. But also at the same exact time, God was disconnected from us. Y'all don't hear me though. That was not the plan. That was not what God intended. But because of what we have sinned and we fall short, now we have to sit here. And because of Jesus, let me say that one more time, we have to have hope. And we have to have provision. And that's what Jesus gave us. He gave us provision. He gave us help. He gave us what we needed. And now we are back on track with God. But some of us, because God has given us divine will, now we still, and he did back in those days also. He wants us to serve him wholeheartedly. And not when we feel like it, not when it's just, you know, Resurrection Day coming or when it's Christmas or when it's any other holiday. But he wants us to serve him in spirit and in truth every day. It's not just one day, but every day. Now, we need to go and let me go back because on Saturday, I was getting some things, a lot of things done, but I wanted to go in and God has been impressing this on me. And it was a lot for me to sit here, and we're probably going to do, you know, like we've been doing, a one and a two, but I wanted to get back into this. And it says the battle instructions. And why do you always, Pastor, are you talking about battle instructions? Because we are under siege. We're in war. It's spiritual warfare. Whether you know it or not, it's spiritual warfare. I don't know about you, but I've been getting up at 3, 4 in the morning. And God has been speaking. And he's saying, get ready. Soon I am coming. My son is coming. Jesus is coming. Now, I don't know how you don't see it, because I've seen, you know, old man dream dreams, and I've seen young men, you know, prophesy, and I've seen all these young people have dreams of who God is, the rapture and after the rapture and, you know, being left behind and all these instructions and all this devastation and all this warfare and rumors of wars and, you know, earthquakes and diverse places. I mean, I've been looking at it. I mean, Iceland has blown up so much because of, you know, how it has the volcanoes have been able to come up and spring up. And we have had Haiti to have devastation. I mean, it has become chaotic. And now a lot of the things that they are doing that are inhumane are going to start hitting the United States if we don't sit here and stop. What's going on? Do you understand that the president is not stopping what's going on because they want to be able to have their hidden agendas? Do you understand we need to be, as the body of Christ, praying for our nations? Whether you are in the United States, South Korea, or around the world, Spain, Ireland, you know, different elements, different countries. You need to be praying, because there is something that God is speaking and saying, that my son is coming. And do you understand? It's going to get really, really worse than better. And it's in the word of God that it says that it will be perilous times shall be here. And then you understand that God said, before my son comes, it will be perilous times. And even Jesus said it himself. So when I tell you battle instructions, this is something that needs to go off and be alarmed in your mind. There is something about preparing for war. You cannot just see anything, do anything, put on anything, put it in your brain or in your mind or your subconscious. You just can't sit there and watch everything and look at everything and listen to everything. Then you understand, especially when the enemy is already there. Do you understand that the principalities of this world has tried to be able to take over and is in control for such a time as this? But God is sitting up here and saying, I am still sovereign and I am still Lord. No matter what, he wants to take the whole entire perspective of who God is in your life. I am still here. I am still God. And you need to hear me on today. Now, the battle instructions. The mindset has to change. The mindset of the Christian has to change from the world. Do you understand that the enemy can focus on what your mindset is? Then how change comes if there is no change in your life? Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Do you understand that the enemy can focus on what your mindset is, then how can it change if there is no change in your life, in your lifestyle, and what you read and what you talk about and how you are and what God is saying in this time and this season? It says a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. The term being, a Christian has to know that you are going to lose your life. Let me say that one more time for the people at the back. The very essence of being a Christian is that we know as soon as we say we're Christians, See, in the United States and in the Western society, you don't know what that means, but in so many different parts of the world, such as China, such as North Korea, if you're saying that you are of God, do you? And also so many times in Africa where they say they're of God, their lives will be taken of them. They will be tortured. They will be killed in the Middle East. Do you understand? There is such a thing as being able to know who God is, because when it comes to your life, God said, if you lay it down, you shall find it. But if a man does not lay down his life, oh my God, paraphrase it, you shall not find it. What do you mean, Pastor? That means that when you lay down your life for God, you already know heaven is your home. But when you don't lay down your life, when you don't confess who God is into your life, do you understand? God said, I will depart. Say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not, because you should have testified, I am who God says I am. You should be able to do as Jesus has done. In 42 generations, he came and he said, I am the Son of God. I am who God is. And when he asked Peter, Peter said, who do men say that I am? And the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he was the Son of God. And he said, only God, only the Holy Spirit could tell you this. So why is it so important? We are needing to change our mindset, because our subconscious is evil. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. What we were born into is evil. I'm going to say that one more time for the people in the back. We are evil. Our hearts, our subconscious, everything within us is evil. Well, then, Pastor, how do you? We have to sit here and we need to genuinely confess our sins, ask for forgiveness, and then have and ask God to have his son to come in. And then have the Holy Spirit to come in to be able to let us know what is right and what is wrong. It ain't no subconsciousness, no consciousness. It's no, all of that is still God. And that's just the Holy Spirit telling you what's going on, telling you what's right and what's wrong. So when I say subconscious, I really do mean the Holy Spirit. And then at the same exact time, the Holy Spirit will tell you what is right and what is wrong. It'll tell you and grieve you when you do things wrong. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. It punish you and lets you know that's not right. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have did this and that. It becomes more and more that we as the body of Christ need to be listening to what God is saying and not sitting up here and grieving the Holy Spirit. And then at the same exact time, let's go back. The term being a Christian has to lose the term of, oh, I know God, but there is no close relationship with God. Who do you talk? You don't talk. Do you talk to God? Do you sit there and give your time and your whole entire being to God? Do you even get up early in the morning and talk to God and say, hey, you know, Father or Jesus, God, I need to talk to you. I have this going on. I have that going on. I really need to talk to you. Or simply put, I need to spend time with you. Don't you know the Holy Spirit or God will call and say, you know what? I need to spend time with you. I miss my time with you. I need to sit down and talk to you. And I would say, I know God, let me get this done. And then something else would come up. But that's when you need to understand. I'm guilty of that. And I had to tell God, please forgive me, because I was guilty of that. So now I have to sit here and say, you know what, God, let me spend some time with you when it's up in the morning. And I can be asleep, but at the same exact time, when the Spirit of the Lord, when the Holy Spirit unctions me to wake up and get up and do what God says do, then I need to be seeking him out even the more. And sometimes the relationship can be you talking and God listening, but be known that when you are done, give God 10, 15, 20 minutes because he might sit there and reply back to you. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Relationship means dialogue. Relationship can mean rebuke. Relationship can mean also giving you honor. Relationship can also mean stripping you away from things, people, situations, food, family members, jobs. Situations can be different things, but God is learn to be comfortable with how God wants to address you, because you have to have the relationship with God. So it's so important to have a relationship with him, more so now than ever. As you see this world as being chaotic, as you see this world as not our home. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. When you see that people's lifestyle has been changed and tainted, and in the word of God, everyone that is chosen by him has a changed lifestyle. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. What you mean, Pastor? The lifestyle that they have changed their lifestyle and mindset towards what God is doing in their lives. That means that they had to change. Saul became Paul. Peter became the rock. So many different disciples had to change their perspective. They had to learn by walking by faith. Yes, they were able to see Jesus, but at the same exact time, a lot of them, and even God, even his son said himself, blessed are those that have not seen me, but yet and still believe in me. Believe. They haven't seen the scars, but they believe in him. And it doesn't matter what color our Savior was. What matters is that he did come and he died on the cross and he saved us. And he did what no one else could do, which is give us back a relationship with God. That's what we need to be concerned about. It's not about the color of who Jesus was, but it's about the content. And he saved us for all of us. For everyone that's on this planet that is a human being, he was the one that was able to connect us back to God. Now, let me say this, the approach that God has towards his people has always changed their lives. How has yours seen the wickeder the situation has become in this world? How is it that we've seen mothers and fathers treat their children? I mean, you've seen so many suicides and so many different things going on, and you see so much chaos in the world, and you don't see the peace of God as we used to have it. You don't see people functioning that God is wanting them to function in the spiritual and in the natural. So many people are selling their souls to the devil and sitting here and declaring it and proclaiming it, and so many rituals and so much of this and all this different taintedness. When are you going to stop and realize that God is calling and we need to answer? Oh, Lord. These individuals are becoming seared with a hot iron. Their consciousness, which is the Holy Spirit, is gone. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Whatever you have been able to honestly see that God is speaking, their whole entire being, the whole entire situation of you have canceled out God. You have canceled out the Holy Spirit. You have canceled out any connection to him. Now your consciousness, your whole entire what is wrong and what is right, the Holy Spirit can't dwell there. So now their consciousness is seared with the hot iron. If you go to your iron, and I don't know about you, but my iron has to be down and it has to be, you know, leveled out in order for it to start steaming up. And once it does, I can iron my clothes. But once it's already starting to feel the press and feel the heat, it doesn't It only goes back if I go and wash my clothes. But we as human beings, when are we going to go and get washed with the blood of the Lamb? Y'all don't hear me though. That's good, God. When we go get washed in Jesus, when we go and we get washed by the Holy Spirit, when we go and we get washed by God, there is something about being able to talk and just be able to be in his presence. Because of the purity of him, he has to wash you clean. Oh, Lord. You have people taking children and killing them for their beauty, fame, and fortune. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. You have people that take children and kill them for their beauty, fame, and fortune. When in the state of Hawaii, where did all the children go? The children are not burned up, nor are they missing. A lot of the human trafficking have been scaled and started to see more demonic activity towards the innocence of the world. There is such a thing as children being killed out of their own, out of fear, and then killing them for their innocence. And then people applying that to their lives or to their bloodstreams or in certain times. It's just inhumane, man, pal. It's inhumane. I say that and I pause because y'all don't understand. They're the next generation. So many people have abortions and so many people have taken the lives of the innocent. And all they want is to be able to know who God is. But the enemy wants to snuff out our children, the next generation, to not know who God is and to serve him only. That should not absolutely be not. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. It should not be. Leviticus, the 18th chapter and the 21st verse. And it says that, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Let me say that. Let me read that one more time. Leviticus, the 18th chapter and the 21st verse. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed, which is children, pass through the fire of Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. In this verse, the days of Noah, where people were giving their children to a god called Molech, the demonic god or demigod, was a paganistic practice for people to give their children for a sacrifice to this demigod. It says in Leviticus, the 17th chapter, 5-7. And please, as I am reading the word of God, please go to these scriptures. Please understand and note, the King James Version is a good one, but also the NIV, you need to be careful. I'm going to put this warning out because of the Disney has purchased the NIV Bible. And also China has been able to try to manipulate their Bibles. So when you see and you hear what God is saying, please make sure this is what the Bible that you are reading from, this is what God has said. And also at the same exact time, be so careful in where we get our word of God. And this is why I have my own hand. This is what God has given me. And I have it in a specific way for me to read the word of God. So please, once again, when you get the word of God, I would have it. Yes, apps are good, but I want to see it. I want to read it. I want to be able to flip through the pages and know and hide it in my heart also. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against God. Now, let's go back. Leviticus 17th chapter. And it says 5-7. And to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifice, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priests, and offer them for peace offer unto the Lord. Verse 6, and the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. Verse 7, and thou shalt no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a whoring. Ooh. Oh, man. Pastor, what does that mean? They have consciously, and they have been able to, with wholeheartedness, go after another God that is not of God. And this is what is called to be able to give your body, your whole entire existence to something else that is not of God. That is what whoring means. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generation. Let me say that one more time. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. All right, let's go down to the 8th and the 10th verse. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offered a burnt offering or sacrifice. Verse 9, and bring it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off amongst his people. Do y'all understand that as you are sitting here, you're saying, wait a minute, well, Pastor, what does this mean about my mindset? You got to sacrifice. Do you understand? There's some times that in my mind, I would hear a certain song, but then I have to rebuke it, and I know that's not of God. I rebuke it, and then also at the same exact time, I say, that is not of God. I do not want that in my spirit. I am rebuking it and sending it back to the pit of hell. Do y'all understand that? See, certain things that will come into you, into your subconscious, into where the Holy Spirit dwells, and God's, and see, Holy Spirit says, and when I say God, I say the Holy Spirit also, will remind you and tell you, wait a minute, that's not what you're supposed to be listening to. That's not what it is. And certain things will just pop up in your spirit. Oh, no, that's not what God said. I rebuke it. Go back to the pit. See, we need to understand that. We need to understand that when sin appears or temptation appears, we need to rebuke it and keep it pushing. What do you mean, Pastor? In plain, simple, and let me tell you, English is that when you know for a fact it's sin, you already know what's going on. It is a sin. It's an abomination unto you. It's a temptation to you. Temptation means that, you know, you're tempted to be sinning, but God sits there and he gives you a way of escape. He tells you, you don't have to stay in it. You don't have to remain in it, whatever it is. Don't take it. Don't even let it come into your thought process. Don't let it even come into your whole entire being. Don't let it come near your children, your house, your spouse, your family, what have you, or you're on your position or on your job. God is telling you, I need you to stay sustained from it. I need you to remain from it. If you got to run from it, if you have to sit there and say, no, that's not for me. That's what we need to do in this time and this season. So when I tell you, don't do that type of sin, don't go there, don't do this with this person, God means it. And Oh, Jesus. Okay. So when they're sacrificing things and unto devils, and they, you starting to see this uptake of so many people going away from God and going into their ancestry and all of these things, or where their descendants went. Do you understand that God is trying to tell you that is not the way that you should go? Just because your mother, your father did, that doesn't mean that it's good for you to do this. That doesn't mean that you should follow the pattern. That doesn't mean that you should stay in the bloodline. God has it so much so that when you become a part of him, your bloodline is in him and him alone. It stops with you. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. When you start realizing who God is, that the blood that runs in Jesus' veins is in the same as you, then guess what? All of the things that was going on with you, it stops here. Every sin, every demonic activity, everything that is trying to come up against your children and come up against you and your spouse and everything that is dwelling within you and out into externally that's connected to you, all of that stops because you have been able to sit there and say, God is the God of my household. God is the one that is able to sustain me and keep me and love on me and know who I am. God is the one that's keeping us and knowing how we are. God is able to keep me through all the different things and all the different stages in my lifetime. And then having to go and go into my next generation and go into that generation. And because of who God is. Let me calm down. Y'all, that bloodline, the bloodline in who we are is who established who God is in us. And there should be nothing. When people see you, they see God. When people know who God is, they see who you are. They'll read you before they read the word of God. So you need to sit there and you need to align yourself with what God has said and with the Holy Spirit being able to rest, rule, and abide with you and guiding you. Because that's what it is. And when God comes, his son comes, and he takes you home, the ones that are left here, they're going to fill a void because they've had the Holy Spirit with them and having access to him all the time. And that void will be heavy. That's the void that you won't even know what's right and wrong anymore. So you have to be able to know, keep the word of God in your heart. Keep what God has given you. Don't sit there and abstain from what God has already told you to do. What is your purpose? I know my purpose. My purpose is to do what God says do so that I can go home with him. Now, what is your purpose? What has God told you? Specifically, God has taught me to be a prophet and a pastor, to know who God is in my life. And whenever I see something that God has already ordained, or he has given me in a dream or in a vision, I have to tell the people to keep doing. And then at the same exact time, I need to give that to my instructions, to my children, to my spouse, to anyone that will listen and know who God is on today. That is why God is telling us, sincerely, go back to me. Come back to your first love. Do not give anything else to Molech. Do not give anything else to any of these demonic activities. Do not give yourself, your space, your time, your children, your spouse, your household to these things, your body, your life to these things, because at the end is death. That's plain, simple, and true to the fact. And also at the same time with necromancing, which means you're sitting up here and you're trying to be able to speak to the dead, but you're speaking to demons. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. You're sitting up here speaking to demons, not to any person that you used to know. You are speaking to a demon, conjuring up spirits. Witches, warlocks, all these different things. You're dabbing into demonic activity. And God is telling you, stop. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't It's so many different things that God is saying no, no, no. But he's saying yes to him. All of those different things. You see, I've seen so many TikToks where former witches, warlocks have come out of the situation. And they're like, I am so grateful that God has been able to come and touch me. He has been able to sit here and be able to help me to know what is life and living my life more abundantly. Y'all don't hear me though. He has been able to help me to get through life and not just, oh, you know, I have so many, you know, demonic activity in my life. I am living at peace now. I am living with him now. And it's the best thing for me. It's like when you have had a bad cold or you have been sitting here and you have had it, you've caught it from someone else. And now you have this different, oh my God, antibacterial into your body. And then you get the good medicine. And it may look black. I don't know about you, but my big mama, she had a big old huge jar. And I don't know what was in that jar. But I would take a spoonful of it. I knew it was nasty going down. But by the next day, when I had some sleep, put some Vicks on my chest, some Vicks underneath my nose, and on my feet. Put some socks on my feet. Before that, take a bath, do all that, and then get back up, and I would be right as rain. I never had to miss a day when I was with my grandmother. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to miss a day when I'm with God. He is better and sweeter than before. He is like honey on a honeycomb. He is the one, the Alpha, the Omega, the Elohim, the El Shaddai, El Alpha. He is the great I am. He is my peace. He is my peacemaker. He is the one that changes my mind when I think that I'm right. But God sits there and says, no, you're not, my child. Go this away. Let me give you the peace that passes all understanding. When I feel as though I need to vindicate myself, God said, no, vengeance is mine. Let me be able to fight for you no matter what's going on. Oh, y'all don't hear me though. Oh, y'all. Okay, let me get on. Let me go. Let me go and keep going. When he says that person should be cut off because they did not bring their offering to God, do you understand? That's vital. Not just your, you know, monetary funds. But it can be deeper than that. Bringing yourself, bringing your sins, changing your lifestyle, changing your mindset, changing the way that you have viewed the world, and you need to bring it to God. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. It's not just monetary. It's about you going and doing what God says do. Bring your whole heart, mind, body, and soul into what God wants you to do. It's about a conscious decision that you need to understand that God is calling you to come out of that, what you've been doing. Come out of it and know that God will heal you, take care of you. Yes, you're going to have problems. We all have problems. But do you understand? You have three factors. You have your old self you got to kill on a daily basis. You have Satan that's after you. And then on the third time also too, it's society. The ones that are around you that you know are not of God. It can be family members. It can be coworkers. It can be friends. It's so many different people that are starting to manifest who they are right in front of you because you're doing better than them, because you're sitting up here and you may have a little bit, but God is sitting up there and exposing them so much so because you're doing what God says do. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. A lot of people don't like you because you're holding what God is telling you to do. And for that, some people don't like you simply put because they're not doing what God says do, and they see it in you. I'm going to say it one more time for the people in the back. Everybody ain't going to like you. You're used to that. But you're starting to see how the world is turning, how it is becoming either your sheep or your goat. I'm going to say that one more time for the people in the back. Either you are a sheep, which is of God, or you are a goat, which is of the devil. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Y'all don't hear me. That is what the world is starting to become divided, either sheep or goat. Take your pick, because you chose. You are choosing. And it does say in Joshua, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether it be God or man. You need to choose. You can't straddle the fence on this one. It ain't, oh, well, I'm a good person. Do you understand that the only person that is good is the Father? Let me say that one more time. And let me say that one more time. The only person, the only God can say is God himself. Even Jesus said that. The only one that is good is Jesus can say is his Father. I mean, oh, y'all don't hear me, though. So don't give me that, oh, I'm a good person. Nah, that's not what God. You cannot sit there and tell me that only the Father can say that. And his Son came down and witnessed and testified to that. Amen. Now, let's go back. And it says, verse 10, and whosoever a man there be in the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from amongst his people. Who, Jesus? Do you understand that the blood of the soul is what makes the flesh, is the atonement of the blood? Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Let me read verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. This is why, even though this is in Leviticus, by the time that we get to the New Testament, that the reason why we could not do any more blood sacrifices is because by the time that we got to the New Testament, Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice that no one else could be able to satisfy. He took all the sins that we have done upon himself and became the perfect sacrifice to God, and be able to give his whole entire life up for us. That is why Resurrection Day is so important. It's because all the sin that we have done, all the different things we have done, excuse me, has been able to be inflicted on him. And before he was able to be beat all, he was beat all night. He was provoked. I mean, he could have been angry. He could have said, no, I don't want to do this. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he even said, let this bitter cup pass from me. But he said, not my will, Lord, but thine will be done. My God. Yeto shake, yeto do. God. His Son could have sat there and said, I'm not going. But he would have been selfish. Because if he would not have gone to the cross, to Golgotha, then we would have not had a relationship with God. And we would not have been able to bridge the gap like Adam had given us that gap. Y'all don't. See, I'm thinking about the suckers that were on the whip, and those whips could have had at least about 1,000 to 5,000 on one side, and it would take his flesh. My God.
And they openly had sores because of he was able to take the whole entire affliction on himself. And then when they were done beating him all night, my God, Jesus, they put a crown of thorns on his head. That could have gave his whole entire brain to swell, and he could not have been able to be recognized because of his brain swelling. Do you know that is contusions and abrasions internally and externally? Y'all don't understand. My God, he was beaten for all that we have done. And I don't know how you can sit here and not say that he is not God and that his son did not come to be able to give us life and life more abundantly. If you have a chance, please. Mel Gibson, he produced A Passion of the Christ. I highly recommend you looking at it. And to your children, depending on the ages, please be sensitive towards how you approach this time before Resurrection Day, because they don't understand the magnitude his body had to go through, how his spirit couldn't been able to be seen by God because of the sin that was on him. You got to understand the disconnection from the Heavenly Father. That had to be huge. And I don't know how y'all can do it. I couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't. I just, every time I look at the Passion of the Christ and God's Son sitting up there on the cross, and how they nailed his hands and his feet, and how his body had to be jolted, because when you lift up that cross and your body has to be, you know, disproportioned, it is so uncomfortable. But he still was able to forgive the one of the thieves on the cross. Y'all don't understand. It gives your mind and heart a new perspective. My God, I don't care what nobody says. It's happened. It is hard to realize that he paid the ultimate price for our sins. And do you understand? We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be deframed. We're going to have so many different things that happen. And it's going to be family members, friends. We're going to have colleagues. We're going to have people. But none like Jesus did. And we are going to be persecuted for his name's sake, not for ours. We're going to be persecuted because the world does not love God. They hate him. And see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And because of Satan, because of the ruler or principality of the air, he wants more people to go to hell with him. And my plans are not to have my children nor my husband to go, but all to repent and to do what God says do. Amen. I cry because you should be able to understand that was God's son. And most importantly, he is our savior, and he is the one that helped us to get back to God. So when you go see the Passion of the Christ, when you go see, you know, the story of Jesus and how he went from Passover to how we were able to see him crucified on the cross,
It has to pull on you. It has to tug, not just tug on you, but give you a sense of understanding what God's son had to go through just for us. And not just for us, but all the generations before us and the ones that are after us. And then at the same exact time, the blood that he shed that was still flowing and still is. This is how God is able to see us. Because of the blood of Jesus, he sees the blood of Jesus on us. He sees when we get before his throne, when we have changed and we've done what he said to do. Do you understand? He will accept us because of his son and his blood. Y'all don't, The blood is so important. That is why demons want to be able to entertain and ascertain our body and get into our systems is because of the blood and who we have been maintained and duplicated. Nothing can be duplicated but God's. We are his original blueprint. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. We are his original blueprint. And no one can be able to tamper with it without our permission, God's permission. Y'all don't. This is why verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Y'all don't. The blood of the soul is what makes the flesh, is the atonement of the blood. The blood sacrifice at once us to God through his son, which is Jesus Christ. Although the blood of Jesus was the final atonement to God, now when you have a sacrifice, other things such as your money, your position, your children, your pride, your way of life has to be sacrificed. These things are going to come up more and more. The killing of the people through cannibalism has started in Haiti. And since the borders are open, what has crossed over to this nation? What God is telling me is that what has happened is that people are starting to eat other people. And with that being said, we need to be able to understand and know that God is telling us when we don't do what he says do, there are deadly, severe consequences to the actions. When we step out of our marriages, there are sexual diseases. When we step out of God, there are severe, let me say that one more time, consequences to our actions that we may not see right now. But later on, it's going to give birth because the wages of sin is death. Let me say that one more time. The sin that we have created births into us a wage, a penalty against us. And if we don't get it corrected, it will give death to us. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. It has become such apparent to me that people are offering their children, they're offering them as sacrifices, whether it's sexual or immoral or just different things, even money, monetary funds. They are offering their children. They're not even sitting up here and protecting the innocent. When I say that one more time, it becomes more apparent to you. You will never put your children out somewhere where someone can be able to hurt them or manipulate them. But some parents don't have that spiritual, let me say that one more time, Lord help me, Jesus, alertness. They don't have that spiritual understanding that their children are precious and you cannot be able to give them access to everyone in their lives. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Everybody does not have access to my children. Let me say that one more time. Everybody does not have access to my children. And I make it so because God is telling us he doesn't want you to have access to the enemy, and he doesn't want the enemy to have access to you once you have become over, that you have changed your life. mindset and your spirit and your soul, everything comes back to God. He doesn't want you to have access to you. Not the enemy have access to you any longer. Why don't you do the same thing for your children? And it says in Jeremiah, and it is the 32nd chapter and the 35th verse. And it says, excuse me, let me go up to the 34th verse. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. 35th verse. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hemron, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire of Molech, which I command them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination, to cause Judah to sin. Y'all, God told them, God told us not to do this. It's because it is telling us sincerely and in biblical terms. Molech can be Baal God or King of Baal. And it also says the God of shame or Lord. It is also known as the God that they have their children to be placed in a fire that they will no longer come into command or into connection with their children again. That means they sacrifice them to a deity or a lower God. And this is not what God has said. This not even came into God's mind. But you're starting to see it a whole lot more. People will sit there and place demons on their children or in their bloodline for them not to prosper or not to be able to be of God. And it's so many times you see so much blood sacrifices, so many different things. But God is telling us to repent. Go back to our first love. Go back. And if you haven't not noticed, is that you need to secure your children. You need to show them who God is. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. God is calling and asking us to train up a child in the way that they should go, and they shall not depart from it. Read the word of God to them. Even as you are around them or as you are talking to them, and as you, it says in the word of God, even when you are up and about, talk to them. And when you are going some places, talk to them. You have conversations. They are just a human being just like you are. They're just a little bit younger and a little bit less experienced. But God is telling you, you need to talk to your children about him. And a relationship also with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, so they know who God is and they know what God is can do in their lives. So when you're not around, they can call upon God and he will be willing and able to answer them in their time of need. And that Satan can't be able to stay in the bloodline, that the bloodline is going to remain in God. And it's going to, yes, temptations, all these different things are going to happen. But guess what? God is going to stay sovereign. He is going to stay holy. He's going to stay. He's going to keep them if they want to be kept in Christ Jesus. Now, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus into your life, if you don't even know who God is, I'm telling you, the first step is going to Romans 10, 9 through 13 and saying, confessing your sins to God and acknowledging Jesus as his son into your life is a huge step. And then he doesn't discriminate. God is offering everyone life. Take it now. While you still have time, while you're still seeing all the chaos and the collisions and all of these different things going on, I'm telling you right now, God has placed this in your heart. If you come across this just by happenstance, it's not about a happenstance. It's about God ordaining it. And he said the word is going to go out and it's not going to return to him void. So this is the last evil days, and we need to sit here. And for the ones that do know God and you have went back to the enemy, repent earnestly and come back to God. Now, I'm going to say this. Thank you for listening. And if you like what you have heard, please follow and subscribe. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Samsung, and also other major platforms such as YouTube. We are definitely going to be getting on YouTube soon. This show places, please, if you have any type of way, encouragement, or just some words or prayers, concerns, please leave me a 5-star rating. This will help me reach more people. Like I said, if you have any questions, comments, please find me on Facebook. It is written LATONYAULLOA. Once again, it's LATONYAULLOA with It Is Written. Also, reach out to me. Questions, concerns. Just if you need prayer. Now, if you are of God, and if you're not of God, I'm telling you right now, this is God ordained. So if you are a witch, warlock, anyone that is not of God and that's trying to be able to mirror or try to be able to sit here and try to be undercover, I rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. This is of God. Please do not come and sit here and try to be able to entertain or ascertain anything, because this ministry, this is what God has already ordained. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. So I want to be able to say once again, thank you for listening. If you heard me come across me through different platforms, thank you. If you've been with me from, day one, I appreciate you. If you're just now coming in and starting to realize that, hey, I need to know the Bible and I need to know the word, this is what we're trying to be able to help you to learn and know who God is on a daily basis. But this is just part of it. We want you to be able to get a relationship with God, talk to God, give God time to know who you are. And you need to be able to sit there and start digging into the word of God so you can know God for himself. He knows you, but you need to know him, and you need to develop a dialogue, the intimate relationship with God, so that when in the days of trouble, you're at peace because you know what the end is going to be. Amen. So until then, thank you so much for listening. It has been my pleasure. Thank you so much. And like I said, we're going to do number 2 on this one. But please make sure that you, as a parent, don't leave your children with everyone. You need to make sure that they are of God, because I'm telling you, a lot of people will sit there and try to seek revenge, through your children for you. And that, it's not right. All right? Thank you so much. Kanop Samida. Annyeong.